The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. With the Webcomic Beacon, its newscast, The Tropecast, and Web Fiction World.
You know, you can take a break from stupid things on Tumblr to go look at something useful.
I would feel cheated if one of my friends said, hey, I wanted to share this comic book, and they gave me three pages torn out of the comic book.
Depends upon whether or not the action girl is capable of penetrating the wall of stock footage that the magic girl throws up while she's prepping.
Not only hungover, but I also accidentally ate spoiled cream cheese, so I also had mild food poisoning.
Anti-traditional publishing much?
No, it's nothing to do with that.
You'd have to be buried like hazmat, like an assault mine.
For 3 years, I've shown up once a week and tried to be serious.
Normally, we just sit around talking about boobs, but...
Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at webcastbeacon.com.
From around the globe, this is Web Fiction World.
And welcome to the fifth episode of Web Fiction World. My name is Anna Hart. I'm here with my sidekick MCM once again, now that he's returned to the show. Last time we had Tim Holtorf, author of Black Mask and Pale Rider and Flag on My Backpack, to chat about the fantasy genre and all sorts of wondrous things. Today's topic is writing marathons and the crazy things people do to write a lot in a very short space of time. We'll also have a reading, as always, but before we get to all of that, I'd like to introduce today's guest. Here with us today is Kira Lerner, author, longtime web fiction author, editor of Epiguide, and general awesome person, lover of bagels. She's also the organizer of Web Serial Writers Month, which is a writing marathon event specifically for online fiction, which runs throughout August. We'll chat about that in a bit. So hello, Kira. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Hi, everybody.
Kira, before we chat about Epiguide and Web Serial Writers Month, let's chat a little bit about you and your work. I think I'll start off with the first question. MCM can pester you later. How did you get into web fiction originally? I mean, where did your interest start, and what was kind of your first venture?
Well, it started in about 1995, I think, when I first got AOL. Some friends and I at work were bored one day, and we started writing a serial story. Basically, one would write one paragraph and then send it on to the next person, and they would continue it, and so on and so forth. It was basically a parody of daytime and nighttime soap operas. And somewhere along the way, we started taking it seriously and started planning things out, and we thought, you know, we have something kind of original and fresh here, and how are we going to get readers for it? So since I had just gotten AOL, I started looking around to see what the landscape of writing was like on the web. And at the time, it wasn't a huge landscape, you know. It was very barren, as a matter of fact. But there were, you know, a dozen or so serials that were continuing. So we decided that we would try putting this stuff online and seeing what happened, basically. And that was it. We knew that we wanted to do something different from what the other serials were up to at the time. You know, in those days, things were really basic. I mean, text on a page, and that was it. And we wanted to do something a little different and really make use of the web's unique features, you know, how to create links and to use those links to create a deeper fictional universe, you know, similar to hyperfiction, where people could take different paths and, you know, learn more about the story, and basically nonlinear storytelling. So those were all the elements that we used in developing the site. And at first, it had trouble finding an audience, but around 8 months later, when I learned something about search engine optimization, Yahoo accepted us, and we got awards and radio interviews, and it was just, it blew up. It was wonderful. And so that was pretty much how it all happened. And it's keeps going 13, 14 years later. And that's pretty much the tale.
Okay, I have to ask something now. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. I've been gone for a while. Okay. my brain is still on vacation. So I have a question. Okay, so going back to the old days and today, you know, looking at the whole field and pretty much everything in between, but let's just kind of go into the distant past and now. Do you think that there's more kind of innovation in the space now as opposed to then? I mean, relatively speaking, of course, but or is it, have we kind of stagnated, or are we just carrying on in the same old way?
That's a great question. I think it's about the same. I mean, as you say, it is all relative. Everything was innovation back in those days. You know, putting a picture on a web page was innovation. You know,
yeah.
I think there has been some level of stagnation where people have found it very easy to just create a site on WordPress and that's it. You know, that's basically all they do, is that they have their serial in text form and that's it. I think it's a shame that a lot of the features of the web, you know, the linking and using other media is not necessarily being utilized quite as much as it could be. But there's no doubt that there is a much wider range of formats and genres, and, you know, it's certainly a richer landscape now than it was then.
And what are you currently working on, Kira? I mean, obviously you've been it for a long time, but what are your current, what's the current fiction we should be checking out by you?
Oh, well, it's the same fiction as it was 14 years ago. It's called About Schuyler Falls. That's skyfalls.com. And unfortunately, it's on hiatus at the moment. I have I shouldn't be embarrassed to say it, but I have a chronic illness, depression, very serious bouts every now and then that come across me, and unfortunately I'm not able to write as regularly as I should. However, the story is still continuing. I will be continuing to write it, and God knows there is plenty of material there for people to catch up on. I think the last count, there were about 400 or 500,000 words to the story.
Wow.
So, yes, that is what people should check out. It's a mystery, romance, dark humor, horror, character drama hybrid, basically. Kind of a combination of 6 Feet Under / American Gothic / Picket Fences and Days of Our Lives, if you can imagine that.
I have another question, but 400,000 words in 14 years kind of melted my brain a little. Wow. I'm going to give it back to Anna while I think of something. It'll come back.
Wayne, have you found writing, you've mentioned depression, it's something that I've experienced as well. Is it something that you find is a relief and like a way to get it out of your system? I've always found writing to be quite therapeutic. I can't even pronounce that word.
Therapeutic.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, to exercise demons, I've always found it. Or is that just a stereotype and I just fall into the writer stereotype?
Oh, no. I think, it can be both, really. I've suffered from depression my entire life, and writing has been a terrific outlet. And God knows, if reading my serial is basically like looking into my warped brain, because all of the characters have a lot of angst and misery thrust upon them. And I think a lot of that is working out my own demons. But sometimes when I go through troughs of depression where it really paralyzes me. And that's when writing becomes more of a millstone around my neck than an actual outlet. So it can be both.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Well, we're interviewing you. You're supposed to be talking, not me. I'm the chatterbox.
No, I was just going to say that it can be both. And I think one of the reasons Wesley Rimo has been so helpful for me, Wesley Rimo is our shortening for Web Serial Writing Month, by the way, is that it sort of forces me to put words on a page without listening to the demons in my head that are telling me that I'm a sucky writer. And that is what I think writing marathons can be very useful for. And that's one of the reasons I participate in it, even though I might fail, and even though I don't want to. I force myself to do it because in some way, at least just getting the words out reminds me, yes, this is what I should be doing, and that I can enjoy doing it. I should also mention, as long as I'm plugging my own stuff, I also write romance novels, you know, the old-fashioned paper stuff, dev tree things. So I have three of them out: Tropical Treasure, Fierce Moon, and Night Wolf. They're published by BookBuyYou.com. So check them out. They're also kind of.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you also wrote romance novels.
Yeah, yeah.
Check that out.
They are actually, it's kind of a niche segment of romance in that they're gift books, basically, in that they're personalized. People can order the books and they can choose the names of the characters and their hair colors and eye colors and stuff like that. But there still has to be an actual book behind the gift. So I'm the one who writes those, or a few of those books. So they're kind of expensive. Unfortunately, they're not available in stores. It's just available through that website. But I'm very proud of them. And I think actually writing those has helped me get through some of my writing block as well. Cause it's such a different genre that, it frees a different part of my brain, I think.
Okay. I have a question. I have a good one. Okay. It's good. From me, I really like the Web Series Writing Month. It's like one of my favorite things in the whole world. And so, I just wanted to say that. Now I'm going to go. The online community, right? And for web fiction and kind of web serials in general, that's kind of important to you, I take it. Can you tell us a little bit about can you tell us a bit about your involvement in the community in that way?
Okay, gladly. Yes, it is extraordinarily important to me. We started the Epiguide, that's epiguide.com. Is it okay that I'm mentioning the links, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
we started that back in 1998. When a very small consortium of web soap writers, and by the way, everything in those days was called web soaps. It didn't matter what your genre was. That was just what everyone called them. When a bunch of us thought, wouldn't it be great to have a sort of a TV guide or soap opera digest for these web fiction entities that we could have, you know, interviews and reviews and articles and so on. And so we basically created it out of whole cloth, and eventually we added a message board that became more popular than the articles. And eventually, because I had the most technical experience with hosting websites rather than using a free, you know, host such as GeoCities or Angel Fire or whatever, I kind of took charge of the technical aspects and also the editorial aspects, and now I'm pretty much it. So after, you know, 14 years later, it's now basically just me along with the community. Every now and then we do get some volunteers, but not enough. So if you're listening and you want to take part, please join in. What is most important to me about this particular community is that it does not just involve one niche or one genre or one format. We are welcoming to writers and readers or audience members of any web creation, basically. So if you're writing a web comic or a video web series or an online novel or a good old-fashioned text-based web soap, you're all welcome to come and share your ideas and learn from each other. I think that is what is most important to me about both the web in general and our community, is that there's so much to learn from paying attention to something outside your own specialty. And I think at the moment there's too much nicheifying, you know, where all the fantasy writers hang out with only fantasy writers or only read other fantasy serials, and same thing with the soap opera writers and mysteries and so on. I prefer it to be a big old gumbo where people learn from each other. When I was creating Schuyler Falls, I was influenced mostly by four extremely different serials, none of which had anything to do with what I was going to write. But they each had such different features that they just opened my mind. And I think that's what a community should do, is help you explore new ideas.
Definitely. And I think at the end of the day, we're all online fiction authors, regardless of genre. There's quite a lot we can learn from each other. And So what about Wessie Rimo? Was that part of EpiGuide at the beginning, or did that kind of come later?
That came much later. That came in 2007 when one of our community members, Michael, who is the writer of Footprints, which is at footprintsmedia.com, one of the longest running serials, I should say. It's been running regularly since 1997. And he is unbelievably consistent. It's a wonderful series. Everyone check it out, please. He came up with the idea because the summer months tended to be where everyone got kind of lazy and stopped being interested in staying inside and writing, which is very understandable. And he thought, why not take NaNoWriMo, you know, the big writing marathon in November, and use that as a springboard and just have it for web serial writers. And as I want to do, I said, sure, let's do it. I'll organize it and I'll do everything about it. So I opened my big yap, and then therefore I had to organize everything. But the twist that we use is that, unlike I think most of the other challenges, we let the writers choose their own goals. And the reason for this is because of the diversity of the web and of our community members. You know, a 50,000 word count goal is great for a novelist or a serial writer, but not so great for a webcomic author or a screenplay writer. So we thought, you know what, the web is about independence and, you know, choosing your own path, so let's have people pick their own goal and stick to that. And that's pretty much what we've been doing since 2007. This is now the fifth year that we've been running it. So that's that.
MCM, MCM took part last year, didn't you?
I've done it twice now. I did it 2 years ago, and I did the app, which was, I set a chapter per day. And then last year I did another one and a chapter a day, and it's great to be able to set a completely unrealistic goal. So mine is pretty, especially on the first one, I was so scared of what I was going to do if I screwed it up. So I said, you know, I'm going to write like maybe 750 words a day and that'll be it. But like, you see all of this stuff. What are some of the goals like for people when they're writing their things?
I've seen everything from, crazy, some crazy goals that sadly people just will never have a chance of doing, like, you know, five chapters every 2 days or something like that. But in general, they range from 1,000 words a day, which I think is a pretty realistic goal. Three scenes every week posted, you know, two installments every week. Four panels of artwork. We allow people to have more than one goal. So if you can have a writing goal, that's what everyone is supposed to do. But in addition, because web series do tend to have other features as part of the production, people also have, say, goals that are related to the extras, such as I'm going to write two bot character bios, or I'm going to redo the website design, you know, as an additional goal. So it's really as varied as the serials themselves.
And do people generally hit their goals, or like for the most part, you know,
I would say
there's no way to keep track sometimes.
No, there isn't. I mean, we have an official sign up thread over on the Epic Guide, and people can, you know, they send me the finished product if they want an official award that they've, you know, won. I would say we have about a 33% success rate, you know, which I think is pretty good. I don't know what the success rate is for NaNoWriMo. I mean, they have thousands and thousands of participants, so who knows? But last year it was about 33%.
I was actually just going to ask you if you knew NaNoWriMo's success rate, but I took part once and I completely flopped and didn't. I think it was the 50K goal was just unreasonable for me. I just can't write that much in that much time.
It's really hard. It is hard.
But there's something beautiful in getting to set your own goal and then still flopping badly and thinking, I did this to myself. This wasn't even somebody else imposing it on me. Why did I do that? Yeah,
we do that specifically. We really want to dig you into your own, you know, misery, just to make you feel especially guilty. That's the great thing about it. Well, that's why we say when creating your goals, to make them ambitious but realistic. You know, don't try and reach for the moon. You know, just reach for Mount Kilimanjaro or something, you know. Because it is too disheartening to fail or to feel like a failure, except obviously as long as you've been doing something, you're not failing. That's how I look at it anyway.
And how would you, do you have like a special formula to advise people on, you know, their goals for, if they're trying to come up with a goal for a web series writing month, how would you advise them to come up with a, you know, a target? If you pick your own, at least with NaNoWriMo, it's like, oh, 50K, okay, I can sign up. But with you, there's too much freedom.
right. You know, I'm glad you asked that question because I did have a, I'm now remembering that I did have a formula, and gosh, I don't remember it, but I believe it was something like 1.5 times your normal output. So, you know, if you usually produce, say, 1,000 words a day, then try for 1,500 words a day.
That's good. I should try that. I just tend to be too lazy. I think it's the idea when I sign up for a writing marathon, I'm like, I've done the hard bit. I've signed up. I don't actually have to do the writing now.
Well, I, you know, the thing is, I know we have a lot of participants who don't actually register officially. They just sort of do it on the side. I think because they're afraid of making that extra commitment of signing up in public, but they still go through with it on their own, which is perfectly fine. I mean, we'd like to know what they're doing, but whatever gets you writing, that's okay too. That's really the whole purpose of the project.
And actually, obviously, Epic Guide is bigger than just, you know, web fiction, because it's web entertainment, so you also have web comics and other stuff. Do you find that it's mostly web serial writers who take part in WebSeriMo? Is it also script writers? And, you know, is it kind of an even mix of people or genres? Or is there any biases?
I think because we are so writing based in general, even though everyone is welcome, it is the writers of you know, text who are the most vocal on the Epic Guide and in Wesley Rimo. But we do have, particularly this year, we have, I know, a couple of video web serials. We have, I think, one webcomic participating, and there's a Sims comic, I believe. You know, the Sims. I think that's a hybrid of both artwork and writing, I believe. And what was the other one? Oh, and what are called virtual series, meaning that they are basically pseudo-television scripts, but they're intended to be read rather than performed. And those are participating as well. I can't stand the name virtual series. but mainly because in the history of writing on the web, everything was called virtual this and virtual that. And I am such a proponent of the web as its own unique medium that I don't think it's a virtual series. It's an actual series that's just on the web, you know. Virtual to me implies pseudo, you know, like it has pretensions to something else.
But it's such a great retro word. You don't hear that much anymore.
Yeah.
Got to embrace that. This is like a virtual conversation we're having right now.
Before my
like
time.
The name cyber or something, yeah.
Oh, cyber. Let's not go there. I'm going to have too much fun. So what's your goal for this year?
My goal is really, well, I would say pathetic compared to everyone else's because I'm in such a horrible trough right now, writing wise. I want to finish one episode of my series, and I have a 10,000 word goal, so it's kind of a dual thing. So it's really small. In past years, I've had 31,000 words as a goal, plus 4 episodes. So you can see what a downturn I've had as a writer. But you know, again, I just wanted to be realistic and. I think that's important. Sounds like there's a train going by. Did anyone else hear?
I heard some strange. I think it's just MCM. He lives in like a spaceship, so it's.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's a virtual spaceship. It's a cyber spaceship. Carry on.
Well, I guess before we have a quick break, Kira, is there any last words you want to say? Obviously, you can still talk after the break, but any last kind of words of wisdom about Web Serial Writers Month and why people should take part?
Well, I think people should take part because writing in general is kind of a lonely affair. And the benefit of these challenges, I mean, we do have Twitter now where everyone is chatting with one another, but the benefit of having a challenge like this is that everyone is working towards something at the same time, and we all spur each other on and offer each other little mini challenges, and it's really a wonderful way, especially for you if you haven't been able to start your own project yet. This is a great way to kickstart it. So that's what I would recommend.
Cool, great. MCM, any questions, or are you still brain dead?
Yeah, no, I'm brain dead. Sorry.
Right, so let's have a quick break for a reading. And when we come back, we'll be chatting about writing marathons more generally. But for now, here's a story for your listening pleasure.
Tales of the Big Bad Wolf by SGL. Read by Jason Strasberg. Chapter 1, Part A. Enter Red Riding Hood. Winter, 1304. In December, wings cannot cut the cold night and take flight. Instead, the bird will fall where the dark ones wait. In the northern lands, the first fall of snow came early. In those woods, a woman walked the empty road. The sound of her steps moving crisply on the frozen dirt broke the silence of the falling snow, creating a restlessness in the woods around her. She was a flash of red in an otherwise uniformly pale scene of trees, snow, and sky. There had been no one on the road for hours. Those who preferred the gentle predictability of spring, the plentiful harvest of summer and autumn, had long left these roads weeks previously. Those types would winter in the warmer lands by the southern seas. And yet she continued, her back to the south, her steps facing north. A brown-eyed, brown-skinned bird caught in a frozen wind. She sang quietly under her breath a strange little nursery rhyme, not knowing that it had been a lean fall and an even more punishing winter that had lasted weeks longer than anyone could remember. She did not know why the trees had been rubbed raw. She had never seen the type of hunger that drove small animals to leave their dens after the first snow and wander out desperately to forage, only to be plucked off by larger, equally desperate animals. She had not been in the Northlands for years. While the cold began to wear down at her, she reminded herself that it was only 10 minutes from Winchester to her grandmother's home. She had been told if she had walked straight north down the road from the crossroads without stopping, she would be at Winchester in time for the evening dinner. The shopkeepers in Crossroads, however, could not have possibly known that the many hilly parts on said road would have iced over and could not be traversed as quickly as they had promised. When the sun had set, she had found herself not yet in Winchester. Instead, she was caught in the deepening dark of the woods. When a howl sounded faintly in the distance, she was surprised. They had neglected to warn her of the things that dwelled within the woods. The woman's hand left the basket she carried and drew instead to her side. Fingering the gift from her mother that had been secured around her waist, she began to move more quickly. Not yet, she thought. Not now. She should not use it. Once the gift was used, she could not use it again so soon. She compelled herself forward, as she soon would be at the bridge where her grandmother's retainer should be waiting to help her. And beyond the bridge was a village, and beyond that was grandmother waiting. That thought sustained her courage for the next 5 minutes as she walked quickly and tried not to panic as the house began to draw faintly closer. She was able to maintain her purpose and courage by thinking of all these things. And yet, as she came upon a clearing before an open bridge, she found no one there other than a stone-lined statue who yawned indifferently at travelers as they passed by. For a moment she paused in disbelief, looked askance at the lion before she heard the howls somewhere behind her turn into growls and barking. Their sounds drawing closer. She fingered the pouch on her side and picked up her pace to pass the stone guardian. It had been placed there, she had been told as a child, as a protective ward. If there was any luck to it, she wanted to be behind it. Across the bridge she went, trying not to slide as she did so. The growls from somewhere close by had stopped. She tensed slightly, but kept going. If those things were preparing to follow her, they would have to come this same way. The growls started again as she finished crossing the bridge, but had changed their pattern. There was clearly something else that had directed their attention. Growls became barks, angry and attacking. Barks became sad, pathetic yelps, and kind turned to howls of anguish. She was startled. Had whatever bear or large animal the dogs had run across suddenly turned on them? There came yet another sound, an odd sound of ominous snuffing and crunching noise. A sound of bones being crunched and dogs screaming as if they were splintered into nothingness. That was no bear, she realized with a sudden start. There were no roars, no sounds in that sad fight. Whatever they were up against was silent. Her feet had started moving on their own. As she passed old abandoned houses along the road, her thoughts flew back to the stories of the shadow things, or the unthings, as her grandmother had liked to call them. Grandmother had said that many years ago, they had appeared shortly after the elves withdrew from the area. Her grandmother had scolded her never to go out alone at night, particularly when there was no moon. Unlike other creatures which feared man or the weapons they held, these things were creatures of emptiness, hungry for both flesh and spirit, and consumed things indiscriminately. However, they detested the light and could be tricked easily. In the summer she had passed here, she had never seen one, and yet, the moon was clearly out this evening. If that were an unthing, what sense did it make for it to be out now? Logical thought asserted itself. She needed light, a lamp, something to force that thing away should it come for her. She paused at a gate where lanterns were lit. It would be rude to try to force her way in, but this was the first sign of any sort of inhabited residence, and she was anxious to get off this road. Looking back behind her towards the bridge, she thought she saw a large shadow at the stone lion. She shook the gate with her hands forcefully, not expecting it to suddenly swing inward. She stumbled inside the gate, and as soon as she had recovered, instinctively slammed shut the gate behind her and secured it. She took a deep breath, trying to figure what to do. She looked down what appeared to be a slightly cleared path. Lighted buildings stood at the other end. Her feet started to move her towards them, as there would surely be someone here to help her. She had not gotten very far when her boot carelessly caught a bit of ice, sending her into the snow and scattering apples in her wake. For a moment, she forgot that she was trying to flee something strange and that killed wild dogs. She looked at the ground horrified. The apples were precious items, intended for her grandmother, waiting for her at the end of this strange evening. There wasn't any fruit to be had in these parts this time of year. To lose these would be a blow for her ailing grandmother. She made an undignified picture, sprawled over the ground as she tried to pick them up, making haste to retrieve them, but trying hard to finish. Too late, she noticed a sudden warm flickering color on the white snow, and a slight shadow looming over her. "Who dares trespass these grounds?" A voice like ice made her tremble. Slowly, she turned her head to look up at cold gray eyes.
That was West Mansion by Mayhem off of Torpedo, Torpedo. Find it at lapfoxtracks.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebFiction Radio. Email us at webfictionworld@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
We're back from our virtual reading, or cyber reading. See, I told you you shouldn't do this. I'm going to say it for the rest of the show, and you'll never stop me. So now we're talking about writing marathons in general, because they're lots of fun. And so we're going to talk about... Sorry, I don't know. Those of you at home probably can't tell this, but I'm actually just a puppet, and I'm told what to say at any given moment by my puppet master. So I've been told that I should talk about, I don't know how you say this normally, NaNoWriMo. You know, the novel writing thing, where you write a novel in a month. I think that's what it's supposed to stand for, right? So... Mm-hmm.
Did I just put you out of your misery?
Yeah, just put me out of my misery, please. It's like 32 degrees here. I'm melting. All right. Carry on.
Well, Kira, you mentioned NaNoWriMo earlier. Use that as inspiration for WestyWriMo. But for the readers who aren't in the know, it's National Novel Writing Month or Writers Month?
Yes.
And... the goal is to write 50,000 words in a month in November. MCM, have you not ever taken part?
I did it last year for Polarity. I think that was the only time. So
did you succeed?
Yes. I wrote in 3 days. I had to succeed. So, yeah. Yeah, it's I actually know a bunch of people who are... I know somebody who's hasn't written for a long time, and she just asked on... Facebook the other day about the 3-day novel writing challenge. That's Labor Day, so it's in a few weeks, and she's really, really nervous about it. And it's like, from my perspective, it's kind of like you have 3 days to write 50,000 words. You have a whole month. The problem with the whole month is that you have a lot more opportunity to go off the rails. In 3 days, you're either going to do it or you're going to fail, and you'll know very quickly. So it's I just love these kinds of these marathon things. Although in 3 days is not really a marathon, is it? Because it's kind of short. But
well, dance marathons are 24 hours, so hey.
That's true. Well, I guess it depends on how much you're doing it relative to the... Yeah, so that makes sense. So.
Kira, did you ever take part in NaNoWriMo?
Yes. Actually, last year I did... the same year I did WestyWriMo, so I did succeed. I did 50,000 words, which for about Schuyler Falls is about 4 episodes, pathetically. My series is really wordy. But yes, I did manage to succeed, and it really is a great feeling to do that, especially because it is such a huge goal. I mean, it's really quite significant. Find yourself able to meet that challenge really puts you ahead of your game. Oh, can I put in a plug for the thing that actually let me win? It is a product, but there's a free version. So it's called Write or Die. I don't know what the URL is, but you can look it up. It is basically a little application where you time yourself. You give yourself a little goal, like 1,500 words in 30 minutes, and you start typing. And if you stop typing for any reason, one word will be taken away from your writing, you know, per second or something like that. That you stop writing. It's quite cruel, but it's an absolutely amazing tool. And I definitely recommend it for anyone who finds themselves needing that extra feeling of being under the gun. And that, you know, if you really, it's a wonderful tool. I would have thought that it would have inhibited me, but just the opposite, it really got me going. So I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, I have to ask, because that plays into this. And do you think that authors who participate in these types of things, like 3 days or a month or you know, 50,000 words or whatever, do you think that they're mentally unstable? Because it's like, why would somebody make a program that punishes you for, like, oh, I sneezed, oh, and it's starting to get rid of things.
Oh, gosh. No, I think writers are just... well, many writers are just very aware of their own limitations and how easy it is to get distracted, especially if you're writing on a computer. You see something blinking in the corner of your eye and, oh, look, I have a new DM on Twitter. I think I'll go write about that, you know. And so these marathons force some discipline into you, and some writers really do need that. I mean, really, you could stop with the question, are writers mentally diseased, period? And, you know, I could give you a good, you know, that's a good argument right there. But I think it's just some people really need that discipline and that goal to get them going.
Okay, I'm going to ask another one.
No, you're not allowed.
Yeah, I am. So, Anna, have you ever accomplished writing a novel in a month?
No.
Okay. Answered that before, but I just wanted to rub it in. So.
Well, you know, some of us have different pursuits and have to spend their time chasing after people who fall behind schedule all the time. MCS.
La, 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 la.
But no, I think I'm one of the personality types that just can't handle writing marathons. It's not something that's for everyone. I mean, obviously, MCM really suits it. He's also mentally unstable stuff. But
there's one data point right there. Yeah.
Yep. I find for me, like, I just can't keep. It's the sense of I can't keep writing for that long, or I just get anxious. I much prefer to just set my own deadlines and have it be my own. Like, I might even, you know, create my own schedule that's just as difficult, but the fact that it's my own schedule, I'll stick to it. Whereas if I've signed up for something, then I resent it because I'm like, no, damn it, you know, this is, I should be picking these deadlines, not like, well, especially obviously, Wessie Rimo is different. You can pick your own goals, but with NaNoWriMo, the first year I took part, I was like, I don't want to be writing in November. I'd rather write in like May, you know, right. Like why November? I hate November. And it was just, and then trying to write, 1,667 words a day. As soon as you fall behind a couple days, it's just like, what's the point? I'm not going to make it. And I hate failing at things. So it's just, I work better with deadlines. Like I have to have the book done for like February, and I'll get it done for then. And you know, for some reason, I'm just incapable. What would you say are the qualities of a good writing marathon author? I mean, are there particular signs we should be looking for, like a zombie infection? You know, how do I identify?
How can you pick them out of a crowd and safely, you know,
avoid,
get away from them? Yeah. Well, I think the lack of perfectionism is actually a sign of a good novel. Believe it.
What?
You know, if you decide I'm going to just write and I don't care what this stuff looks like, I'm not going to go back and edit, you know, that happens later. I find that extraordinarily difficult. I'm really a very harsh judge of my own writing. And that's why Write or Die is such a great program, because you don't have that luxury. You just have to write, and you know, who cares what typos you've been making. So I think a lack of perfection, and you would think actually that it would require someone who's really good at discipline, but I think the ability to forgive yourself is one of the best ways that you will get yourself through a marathon.
That's actually, I remember the first time I did with the app, and I was really concerned that I wasn't going to be able to write something fast enough. And I think it must have been one of your posts where you said, you know, don't worry about perfection, just get it done. And I thought, well, this is now my whole existence is now defined by that. Just get it done. Don't worry about quality. It works out so well, because then all you need to do is find somebody who will turn your crap into gold, and you're all good, right? So, all right, and shut up.
Ideally.
Yeah.
I think I can't forgive myself. I'm like, oh, I hate this. I always get that mid-book slump, you know, where it's the honeymoon period. This story is amazing. And then like halfway through the book, you're like, this is the shittiest thing I've ever written. I hate it. No one will like it. Why am I a writer? Why am I even doing this? I should just go and draw stick figures on a wall and protest.
You should do that.
I have done, actually.
Well, you could do that. It's August. You could just do like one stick figure every day and...
No, XKCD has already been done.
Nuts.
No point.
I knew it sounded familiar.
Or Order of the Stick is another stick figure comic, which is wonderful, by the way.
I haven't actually. I'll have to, Order of the Stick.
Yes. Oh, it's terrific. It's a riff on Dungeons and Dragons, pretty much. But you don't need to be a Dungeons and Dragons player to get the jokes, but. Cool. Yes, do check it out.
Actually, the one thing we haven't, back to marathons and stuff, is that we haven't really talked about MCM. Your crazy live writing stunts. Why don't you give us an insight into those? What is live writing?
Live writing is when you do like a marathon, except you do it in an incredibly compressed time frame. And you don't do it all by yourself. You do it. It's kind of like you were saying. The things come in. You get a DM on Twitter, and you say, "Ah, nuts! That's going to distract me." But when you do the live writing, you get the DM from Twitter, and then you take whatever the person said and you put it into the story, which forces you to focus while not focusing. And it's like the most fun in the world, and yet high likelihood of death. So it's entertainment for everybody, because especially when you do it truly live and they can see you typing, they can see you. It's like why did he stop typing? Is he thinking about what he's doing? Is there something great coming? Or did he, you know, suddenly think, you know, I'd really like a coffee, and then walk off and leave the computer and nobody knows?
Well, we do know, because we have your webcam.
That's true. And that's why I turn it off all the time, because you people just keep watching me, and it's really scary. So, yes, I think live writing is like fantastically fun, and I wish everyone would do it just so that I wouldn't have to feel so alone. But and then I could watch other people and laugh. So it would be really great. But I'm gonna go more broadly. Kind of from this. So when I'm preparing for live writing, I do have a really detailed outline, and I know what's going to happen in each chapter, and I know, like, I figure it all out before I start, so that when I'm going, I'm not thinking about the fundamentals, I'm thinking about the details. So when, and I know not all of us here have actually accomplished anything in terms of marathons, but, you know, pretend. What do you do to prepare for a marathon writing thing?
Well, speaking for myself, all of my plots for Skylar Falls are basically outlined out into infinity. But I leave a great deal of flexibility, because I think to be too hemmed in by an outline can sometimes be paralyzing for me. So I think it's about a 60-40 split between matching my outline and letting myself be spontaneous and just be surprised by what I'm putting on the page. But I know some people do like to plan out very carefully, you know, each beat of their story, and, you know, hey, whatever works. So I'm sorry, Anna?
I was going to say, does it ever go horribly wrong? I mean, I was live writing. I wrote one chapter of my serial, and every few paragraphs I'd stop and ask my readers a question, like, give me a disease, give me a color, whatever, and they'd give me answers, and then I'd have to put it into the chapter. And I had this great plan for, you know, where the chapter is going to, and it ended up just derailing, and then one of the characters had just, like, broken disgusting toenails, and then they all got high, and then, and it was just like, I ended the chapter. I was like, this is not what I wanted to happen.
And so you can blame the readers for all that.
Yeah. But even, you know, with writing marathons, and you're there writing and trying to get the words out, and your mind was, if I don't have a plan, I will end up, you know, I start out with a dark fantasy and I end up with, you know, a romantic comedy.
That's half the fun. You have to,
is it?
But, Well, it seems like it is. And let me just say, when you're doing live writing, never, ever, ever say, give me a disease, because that's just, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Carry on.
You're risking the gods punishing you, that sort of thing? Yeah.
It's just too much fun, though. Yeah. No, it's, I think part of the fun of a marathon is, and that's why I ask about how much preparation you do, is, you know, you get halfway through it, or not even halfway through it, you get a few chapters into it, and you say, wow, this is, like, not at all what I had in mind, but I kind of like it, and carry on. Or do you say no, and you get out the whip, and you start, you know, flailing yourself and say, I have to stick to my outline. So I guess we know what kind Anna is.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that goes back to the perfectionist thing. You know, if your goal, at least for example in WYSIWYMO, if your goal is 1,000 words a day, then you're still meeting that goal, even if it's 1,000 words of utter crap, or 1,000 words of a storyline that, or, you know, a thread of a storyline that you never intend to follow up with. You know, you're still accomplishing something, because you never know when that weird little scene that came out of nowhere and that you're not going to use in this chapter, you never know when you can actually plug that in somewhere else. That's only, I found myself last year ending up writing an extensive backstory for this one character that I completely hadn't intended, but I found myself loving it, and I decided that at some point, I will probably use this in a short story for my serial, which something I don't usually do. But every now and then, instead of having a regular installment, I'll have a little one-off story. And so that's probably what I will use this for. And that's, again, a matter of serendipity. You know, I didn't plan to go into this Southern woman's backwoods past, but hey, there it is. And it will be used at some point, so it's all good.
Yeah, I think it kind of encourages the lazy writers, writing marathons in general, but it's also, I have found when I'm forced to write, it's interesting to see what, like, as you said, Kira, where my mind goes, and it's sometimes surprising, sometimes a little scary.
sometimes.
But, yeah, only sometimes, I'm not like you. I have to say that my favorite writing marathon experience so far has been, because I'm a perfectionist, I don't like taking part, it's just been participating as a reader and with WYSIWYMO and also with MCM's live writing. You're able to read along as the writer's writing and just being like, what's going on? And, you know, seeing people under pressure and laughing. And in February or March, MCM did a 3-day writing marathon in Belgium. And I went over and pretty much just like threw chocolate bars at him while he was writing to distract him. And then when he'd walk away from his computer, I would sit at his desk and like write really silly things and like watch them come up on the screen and write insults. But he managed to write, how many words was it, the archivists, in the end?
I think it was at least 50, but I'm not sure. 6, 7? I don't remember.
I think we slept like 3 or 4 hours a night. And we were in there like 8 a.m. there till like 11 every night. And it was horrible. I wasn't even doing any writing. I was just sitting there throwing chocolate bars. And I was exhausted. So I don't know how MCM did it. But it was good. And then I drank him under the table at the end. So
there was no table. All right. There were tables. Right. But yeah. Anyway.
So I was going to say something wise, but I've forgotten. right.
Wise. So,
well, MCM, in one sentence, why would you recommend, or to whom would you recommend writing marathons?
Everyone.
Even people who don't write? That's not a sentence, by the way. Well, everyone is one word.
The question didn't really suggest a sentence anyway, so what am I supposed to do? I would say everybody, even if you don't write, you should do a writing marathon. And the good thing about setting your own goal, I think, is that if you don't write, that you can set a really, really easy goal. Because there's I think a lot of people have crazy ideas in their head, and they need to turn those things into stories, and then those stories will kind of take all of the demons out of their brains, and then they'll be much more normal, and they will, you know, not spit on me at the street. So it's that's why everyone should do writing marathons.
So that they don't spit at MCM on the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you that is going to be our new slogan, you know that?
Yes.
You can spit at him if you want anyway, though. It's enjoyable. Yeah. I've actually just remembered, I mean, we've mentioned Wessie Rymo, we've mentioned NaNoWriMo, we've mentioned live writing. Other writing marathons, I just remembered there's also Row 80, a round of words in 80 days. Do either of you, have you heard of it? I think
no.
It's Kate Nolan is an author. I think it's kind of dedicated more to, like NaNoWriMo, it's to novel writers as opposed to online fiction writers. But it's a challenge that happens 4 times a year, and there's 80 days long, and you have to set your own target. It has to be measurable, and within those 80 days, you have to hit your target. So it's kind of similar to Wessie Rymo, but it runs 4 times a year, and it's got, I think it's mostly more novel writers that take part. I haven't taken part in it, but I know that the Twitter hashtag is Row80, and I'll put the link in the show notes so people can learn more about that. But are there any other writing marathons now that I think about it?
Yes, I have actually. I've compiled a list of, I think it was 13 writing marathons. Some of the ones that I remember, there's International Fiction Writing Month. Not international. Interactive Fiction Writing Month, which I don't know if any of you were old enough to remember the old Infocom games that are text adventures.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. Oh, thank God. I'm so old that, you know, I always think a bunch, everybody else is like a zygote compared to me. But
well, I used to play them, but they were old school when I was playing.
Oh, right. Well, so there's a marathon for that. There's Script Frenzy, which is, I think, associated with NaNoWriMo. That's the object is to write 100 pages of a script or screenplay. There's Travel Writing Month. For travel writers, Poetry Writing Month, Picture Book Writing Month. There's Jewel NoWriMo, which is for people who don't like to wait until November to write their novel. That's in July. There's 50 Songs in 90 Days. What else? Oh, Sketch Writing Month, that's for comedy writers. There's 24 Hour Comics Day. And finally, National Blog Posting Month. So,
now, next year, I'm going to do all of those. I'm just going to, and it'll be my marathon of marathons. And that'll be, no, I won't do that. I'm
and
doing
you'll
less.
Die.
I'm doing less next year. I keep forgetting that. Okay. Yeah. Or planning to do less. I can't actually do less. This year's been really pathetic. Okay.
Stop whining. Nobody wants to hear you whining.
I think some people do.
Only if you have chocolates being thrown at you. That is the only time.
If they think I'm sad, I bet there are a lot of people who think it's funny. So, all right.
Anyway, is there any other words of wisdom? I've kind of wrung my brain dry listening to MCM whine.
You know, actually, I would like to take something that MCM mentioned regarding live writing. The idea of having your readers or audience members throw ideas at you. I think that's a marvelous idea, and that's something that I've done in Skylar Balls quite a lot. Every now and then we have polls that ask readers to come up with certain plot points. And the benefit of that, I think, is that it frees you from your own preconceived ideas, and sometimes it really will just unclog something that has been stuck for a long time. And I think that's related to the writing marathon, in that you're forcing yourself to write an awful lot, and sometimes things just pop out at you, and you should be willing to go with them. You know, don't hinder yourself from a new idea, whether it comes from a reader or yourself, your own scary, scary subconscious. just let it out and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then edit it out later. But don't be afraid to write something weird. So,
unless it's about, you know, spitting at MCM, then, yeah, you should be a bit afraid because he's hired rabid dogs to attack people. Right, I think we're the conversation is degenerating rapidly. I think we've also said a good amount. So thank you, Kira, for joining us today and sharing your thoughts with us. It's been a pleasure getting to chat with you today, and you know, I'd like to thank you also for putting up with us. Have any last words for our listeners before MCM's rabid dogs come your way?
Well, I just invite everyone to the Epiguide, epiguide.com, to participate in however you see fit, either just lurking or to start conversations, or if you want to help out, if you have ideas for articles, please do come and join it, because it is supposed to be a community effort, and right now it's not so much. So please do come and join. We welcome everybody. So
perfect. That's great. I think that's the end of our show today.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up by telling you that you should tune in next time when we will discuss the pressing issue of why more unicorns don't write web fiction. And
you couldn't have invited me that week, right?
I know. Oh, man. It's really exciting, and I've been holding on to it for a while. So if any of you people out there have suggestions for future podcasts, then you can drop us a line at webfictionworld@gmail.com. And I'm going to repeat that again so I feel official. webfictionworld@gmail.com. And I would like to say thank you to Kira for putting up with us today, especially Anna. I know she's just, I don't know, we try and adjust the medication. And
shut up!
And thank you to all of our listeners, except for Greg. You don't get any thanks. So I'm MCM, and Anna is, say hi. Or bye. Say bye.
Hi, bye.
Okay, or, but all right. And this is Web Fiction World. And I'm supposed to be witty. Hold on, I'll come up with something really good. Yeah, no, I got nothing. So, see you later.